Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You hear that background. You hear the verse that shook the world right now. It's Seed Talk. Back with your two hosts, Sterling and Taylor Mack here. You know, we're putting on for the community, for the culture, because if we didn't talk about this verse that just comes on right here, we wouldn't be the podcast that you guys come to, and the most respected podcast to get your Seed Talk information, to get your sports technology, but also just getting the pulse check in sports right now. So I hope everybody's doing well. We are back again. Sterling, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. Good to see you. Good to be back on the pod here.
What'd you think when you heard this Kendrick verse coming out?
Yeah, I mean, I was shocked, right? I hit the album like late at night when it came out last week, and I was shocked that he was on the song first, and then I had to listen to it a couple times to like hear what he was saying, and immediately it was like, oh man, this is all. I mean, the first song of the album too, with The Weeknd, I mean, there's just direct shots at Drake.
It was. Then,
when Kendrick's like, you know, like motherfuck the big three, like it's just me. You're like, oh, okay. Well, we all know. And I don't think anybody that listens to rap disagrees, right? I think Kendrick's the best rapper. I think Drake is
great lyricist.
Yeah, I think he's the best that we have today. I would put J. Cole very, very close second. I think Drake is the most popular though. And I think the tough thing for Kendrick is like, why, just because his popularity is where it is, why do you put him above me in terms of like what this is, what this rap thing is, you know?
Yeah.
Again, it was shocking though that he was on there. I think that was the thing.
You got Kendrick above Diddy? You got him as a lyricist? You got him. I wasn't trying to cut you off. I was just trying to see where you're ranking lyricists, you know, that are out there today.
Yeah, I have Kendrick.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. All right. Yeah, sorry. But yeah, you got Cole, you got Kendrick, and then obviously, like you were saying, Drake is, he's the voice of hip hop, but is he the most skilled? Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair, right? I think Drake is the most accomplished right now, right? I mean, obviously, and Kendrick took shots at that, right? Saying Prince outlived Mike Jack.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Drake alluded to the fact that if he had another hit, I believe, on the Billboard Top 100, he was going to surpass or either tie or surpass Michael Jackson's record on top Billboard hits. So, yeah, I mean, I think the popularity of Drake cannot be questioned. But I think I've always argued this with friends. I am a Drake fan, but how Drake has gotten to that popularity can be questioned, right? The fact that he's a guy that hops on trends. His last album, he works with Lil Uzi, right? He gets called out by many a people, mainly, I think, the Joe Budden shots are the one that really got him. And then he went back and made an album for someone who was 38, 37 years old, right? You shouldn't be making an album for 18-year-olds because you're not 18 anymore.
Right. Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head. Drake knows how to have the longevity. You know, he has, if you want to look at it and parallel it to lifelong careers, he's like a lifelong politician, knows how to stay in the game, knows how to play the game. He plays it very well. And then he also has the voice where if you give him lyrics, you could write out a beautiful verse and have it as a ballad, give it to Drake, because he's got the voice, he's got the tone, it's going to be a hit. He doesn't necessarily have to write, because he knows that whatever he puts out, it's going to touch the culture in a way where, because he, like you said, he bandwagons and he jumps on and off of cultural movements. Is that a negative? You can look at it that way. Is it a positive? You could look at it that way as well, because you figured out the game. I do say, though, and it goes to what you were saying, when it comes to just spitting reps, when it comes to just being able to put pen to paper, don't even put pen to paper, come off the top of the dome. It seems that when he comes across a real lyricist, the lyrics seem to disappear. And let me say that one more. When he comes across a real lyricist, seems like the lyrics disappear. And what do I mean by that? You saw the beef between himself and Meek. He came at Meek because why? Meek has bars, but is Meek a lyricist? I don't think so. Not to the same degree as, say, a Pusha T. Comes at Pusha T beef. Pusha T responds. Also came real hard, top of the rope. Everybody tried to say it was crossing the lines, crossing boundaries. There are no boundaries in the rap game when you have beef. But what happened? There was no response. Kendrick, when this verse dropped, obviously there's other beef. Rick Ross jumping off of his IG. You don't see, it looks like there might be no MMG collaboration. But what happened? He could have dropped a freestyle that next night he was on stage. But what did we got? What did we get? No lyrics, just a beautiful soliloquy and a metaphorical approach to life. That's all we got on stage. And then he said, also referencing, you know, he's above everything a little bit and where he's at position in life. It's kind of like when you see Shaq arguing with Chuck, because Chuck cuts through the core of Shaq. And what does Shaq normally respond with, Sterling?
You ain't got no rings.
Exactly. What does Drake respond with? I got a 747, whatever plane. I got houses in Calabasas and villas in France, but we ain't talking bars. So that's all I got to say.
No, it is interesting because I agree. He did go at, let's be honest, he did go at Pusha T. And at first you're like, oh, that was pretty good. And then to your point, Pusha came with things that I didn't think we would ever hear, right?
Right. I mean, he stepped it up. It was like, hey, we rapping. But then Drake, maybe for the sake of his family, I don't know. I don't know Drake or anything like that. Could have been coming to save face for his future child and, you know, the mother of his child and decided to lay low. But I'm like, man, this is the rap game. You're supposed to be, you saying you the big three. You saying you the number one out here. Come with these bars. I just didn't see it.
Yeah, and to your point now, like when Meek Mill and Drake had their beef,
yeah,
Drake had two diss records in a weekend, and both of them were like club bangers almost, right? I mean, I remember
back to back.
Yeah. But to your point, Kendrick hits him here, hits him a week ago, and there's no response. So I am interested, to your point, does Drake feel like he does not have the quality to go against him, or is there maybe something else going on behind the scenes where maybe a response is not needed there? So right. And to your point, it feels like someone compared it like Infinity War or something, or like the Avengers kind of splitting up.
Yeah.
Because it feels like the rap game, it's like people are kind of choosing their sides here, right? Rick Ross, to your point, is riding around in his car, bumping the song. Obviously, you got Future, The Weeknd part of this as well. People that have collaborated and made really, really good music all together.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's a friction right now in the rap game at the top, at the executive level, if you want to say that, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think what the game needs right now, and I think Kendrick opened it up. Kendrick didn't do anything. Kendrick didn't come with any ill-willed, ill-intended bars. He just came with bars. Said, this is objectively where we're at, who I am. I don't know who you guys thought you were, but now you know. And I'm spitting it in an impassioned way on this track. And then you're supposed to respond. If you a rapper, you respond. That's the whole game. You know, we trace it all the way back. Let's go NWA versus Ice Cube. Let's go when Nas drop Ether. You got to know if I am a true rapper lyricist out here, and I feel like I have a metaphorical game that was, you know, modeled off of Wayne, you should be able to put something together to be able to come back, because that's the fun and that's the joy, I think. Obviously, I'm not saying take it to the level of being like super, I don't want to say across the line, but going real deep and cutting like Pusha T did. But you can put something together. I mean, still, you can still do that anyways, but just put something together and say you got bars. And then people respect that. It's like, hey, he came at you. I came back. Maybe you came back another time over here. Next thing you know, we could put a joint song together somewhere down the road. I don't know. But like, that's what I think rap and hip hop embraced in the past. And I feel like now it's like, ew, you hurt my feelings. I'm better than this. I'm not stooping down to this level. What do you do?
Drake has been putting IG quotes up to your point. He's
like, it's weird.
Monologues on stage, very like, I gotta, you know,
right.
Very Dalai Lama-ish. Like, well, like to your point, I just want to hear some. This is get in the studio.
Right, get some bars. What happens in basketball? Someone dunks on me. What are you gonna do? You gotta get him back. You gotta get him back. You gotta come down like Magic.
Thank you, Magic.
Charles, you gonna let him do that to you? No, you gotta get him back. You gotta get him back. That's what you should do in the rap game. It's just like sports. You can't let somebody come down here and punk you too quick. Thank you, Magic. Magic, what'd you say? You gotta get him back. You gotta get him back. That's what you gotta do in the game. You can't let somebody sun you out here. Speaking of basketball, though, I know we took a little second on that one, folks. You know what? Well, we're dropping some of the most important topics that are coming through right now, as you're probably gonna list this through the early April portion. And hope everybody has a great weekend, great start to your week. I don't know when you're listening to this one, but the tourney's going on right now, and obviously, you know, my alma mater, UConn Huskies, they were number one to start off the tournament. Hopefully they can make a run to the Final Four, maybe championship. I don't want to jinx anything, so I'm not going to say anything definitively. But, you know, how have you liked the tournament so far, Sterling? What's been your thoughts? What's been the vibe that you've picked up? How have you enjoyed March Madness?
Yeah, it's been good. I think it's been a little different. As you get older, it's just weird, right? You have more responsibilities. That Thursday hits, you know, when you were like in high school or in college, you're sneaking out from class or just skipping class, right? So there's some nostalgia there around because the game starts so early, you know, 12 Eastern. So I'm on the West Coast right now, so 9 out here. So I went to a bar in LA, and you wouldn't have known the tournament had started. I got to the bar probably at noon. Right. So like the second wave of the Thursday games were going on. Mm-hmm. Actually, this was Friday. So the second wave of the Friday games. And I mean, yeah, you people were just in the bar, and nothing wrong with being in a bar on a Friday at noon to like have lunch or something. But they couldn't have cared less. And I think that kind of took away my feelings towards it a little bit, because you're just like not around people that are enjoying college basketball outside of that. Outside of being in a place where sports don't always matter, it has been really good. I mean, the games have been fun. We've had some upsets right early on. Auburn being taken down most recently, right? UNC here losing, as well as Arizona. So the 1 and 2 seeds going down there. So it's been good. It's been good. I mean, that's what you want. You want March to be chaotic. You want it to have this feel that the underdog has a chance. And that's what we feel in this tournament is kind of happening. So I think it's been good. The games have been good. I think the men's side, we talked about this going into the tournament, right? Are people going to watch the women's side or the men's side a little bit more this year because of just the star power that's on the women's side? I feel like that's probably, I don't know. I think I've reverted back to just like, I watch more women's college basketball throughout the year. Mm-hmm. I think when the tournament came around, just my natural inclination is like, oh yeah, I'll just put on all the men's games. I've now slowly, as the Sweet 16 has gotten here, started to now focus my attention back to the women's game, which I'm pretty excited about. Tomorrow, we're recording this on Friday here, the 29th. Tomorrow, the 30th, there's the slate of games is unbelievable, right? From LSU playing UCLA. Then you got Caitlin Clark. Then from there, you got Juju. And then the nightcap with Paige Beckers and UConn going against Duke. So it's a fun time right now. It's been good. Yeah. How do you feel, to your point, you have both the women's side and the men's side for UConn in a position to win? You were there when you all won in 2013. What give us the feeling, I guess, then for you being a student athlete, but then also for maybe the kids that are on campus right now?
No, it's an amazing thing. If you ever get an opportunity to celebrate or partake in a viewership of a championship game, whether that's football, basketball, you know, if they're doing something, baseball, one of your big sports that you guys or whatever that your school has a pride in or has a priority about, you gotta partake. Even if maybe you're out of college and you're like, you know what, I'm just gonna go see what that air is about. Still do it. You know, you just don't go to the freshman bars after. You know, don't do something like that. Just but enjoy the spirit and the vibe. Don't be weird. Don't be weird about it. Just do it in respects to where you're at in life. Right. But I mean, it's amazing because, like, you know, everybody's it's just a positive energy prior to the game. And then, you know, as the game goes on, you end up winning. If it is a championship night, you know, the elation and like the emotional let out, it's something that, you know, you'll always remember. And it's something that it just sticks with you. And you just end up having a great night. So I would encourage anybody to do that if you're able to be around, you know, your alma mater or something like that, or watch parties or anything downtown if you're not. But it's really cool. And it's nice having the Huskies back in it. So does it have that same feel from 2013? No, that was a run where, you know, we weren't expected to do what we did. And then this year, obviously, you know, you're coming in as the number one seed. So, you know, you're the big dog and people are looking to take you out. So you got to just stay on your toes and play with that chip on your shoulder as if, you know, you're not as good. You got to be nervous, because if you're not nervous, that's when you get knocked off because you get complacent. So, no, it's been fun to watch. And I'm hoping we can do a little something and keep it rolling. But let me ask you this, Sterling. When it comes to the games from regular season transitioning into postseason, does it feel as big? And I think to the point of how you said the women's game has gotten bigger, or you've watched women transition more in watching the tournament instead of just regular season. Do you think that is because you have the household names opposite of where the men's are? So where do you think the games lie? Are the games as big? Because, you know, we want to get back to, I think, on the men's side, and framing it a little bit. But, I mean, do you remember the time frame when you had Duke UNC? Oh, this is like 06. Just feel the energy in the building. Every shot right now. I'm just going to let this roll for a second.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't remember this game. Look at Raymond Felton there.
You got May.
I think when you ask, does it feel? It feels different because I think we have so many options now with so many things going on.
Yeah.
So it's hard to. Is that Manuel? It's so Manuel. Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to. We have a crazy story about that, or about him.
We do.
I don't know, maybe we'll tell it on another podcast. It feels different because I was thinking about this, right? I was like, man, remember when, I remember like Mateen Cleaves in 2000 when Michigan State won, or even when this UNC team wins in 09. Mm-hmm. And maybe just because I'm younger, I was younger during those times and basketball felt different and it felt the stage felt bigger. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. This tournament, like, I'm sure it's the viewership's going to be great and all those type of things, but it does. There's something – I don't know what it is missing right now, but something feels a little different. Even, you know, I posted to our Seed Talk Instagram the Steph Curry kind of breakout, you know, from like 14, 15 years ago. Yeah. And that even felt different. That felt – you know, there's something about – I don't know where we are with collegiate sports right now, where the games in this time in March felt a little more organic, and the stakes felt so much bigger, and you felt it for all these kids. Now it's like, you know, UNC got knocked out last night. RJ Davis and Baycott are going to play their last game for UNC. Most people are kind of like, you know. But when Hansborough didn't win for Duke, that was huge. You know what I mean?
You mean for UNC?
Oh, sorry, for UNC,
We can't make that mistake of all teams.
I kept thinking about the Duke thing. Now. You're
going to have some UNC alums coming after you being like, how do you mess that one up? But no, I feel you, and I think let's stay on that one, because look at the women's game.
Yep.
Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, you got Juju. Becker's for UConn. What's the thing that's synonymous with all these names? Longevity, more than the one and done.
Juju's, and when you're
outside of Juju, so like, but when you're able to establish familiarity with a player, and then that player also in turn embodies what alumni or your impassioned fans for, you know, like Bama that didn't go to the school but bleed Bama. And then they embody that as well when they're out there on the field. Then it make or court, it makes it feel bigger. So yeah, when Hansborough didn't win, you're like, God, this is soul crushing, because through the illustrious career, he's supposed to. And give Baycott credit for tough loss, UNC, but Baycott stayed, could have gone NBA. Obviously, I think he made more money in the short term with NIL and staying at UNC.
NBA really prototype, right?
Right. Yeah. But you love players like that, and you know, I love that UNC is trying to continue that route. Obviously, you're going to have your one and dones, and that's what you have to establish because you have to get your five stars and your lottery picks. But if you can encourage, hey, be here for 2 years, it's going to be fruitful for you, not only development wise, and financially now with the NIL,
right?
But where you're going to position this team as well for your legacy. And I think people don't look at legacy as a whole. I think that was a great interview. I don't know if you saw John Wall talking about the loss that he had in the championship or Final Four. And he was crying in the locker room, and Boogie looked over and was like, what are you crying for? You're going to the league. And Wall was like, I wanted to win this for UK. And for him to have that perspective as a freshman, knowing that he was going to be the number one overall pick, that's what you would hope. Obviously, like, he had to go. Like, he needs to go. Would have been awesome to get 2 years out of him. But like, where you can position yourself for legacy, because a lot of kids, I don't think, are going to be ready. And then you go to the NBA, and now you're bounced out. You're going to be a journeyman, and you don't have that development. I think we have to go and kind of get that back, because it'll save college sports, I think, because right now you're just looking at prop bets. You're trying to match whatever you can do for whatever dollar or your bracket. It doesn't hold, like you're saying, I don't feel like it holds the same weight, where like I had my bracket before and I was like, oh, I really do like these teams too. I don't know. It's a different following to me right now. So yeah, I think that's just, if you can, you got to get the names in there. I don't know how to make these games.
I agree. Right. The longevity is a big part of this. And to your point, because they lost last night, Armando Baycott and RJ Davis are solidified as UNC stars, right? Yeah. Like their numbers may go on the rafters. Like, they will always be able to go back, and they're going to get the standing ovation shown on the Jumbotron. And that's a huge thing. And to your point, we talked about this a little bit, but like, where the good and the bad with NIL right now, with so many guys transferring and moving around, when you're at one place and people can pour into you and they now care about you, they care about what you're going to do, not only in the short term, to your point, when you're at the school, but what you're going to do beyond, whether it's in the pros or if you open a business or go to a tech company or whatever you go do, right? People now care about you.
Right.
And that's a huge, huge thing. And I think I agree. I think that is what we're missing. To your point, when I referenced Mateen Cleaves, like, man, he had been there 4 years. You watched him, and I was young at that time, but you watched him at Michigan State and the tough love that Izzo was giving him. And you're like, man, it'd be awesome if this dude won for Michigan State. Yeah. And to your point, now, like, he is solidified with that university as a, you know, I don't want to say a hero, but he brought them a championship, right? So that means something. Right. And so, yeah, I think that is part of it. And to your point on the women's side, you have that. I mean, it's crazy to say, right? Beckers has been there a few years. Obviously, Caitlin Clark is graduating. Angel Reese, even Haley Van Lith, like, she transferred, but you've been able to watch her career from Louisville to LSU, right? So it's just a huge portion of I think what you hoped NIL could be. I hope we get to a place where they can structure it to your point where it's like, hey, here's a 2-year contract, you know, you can break this in some way, but then there's some financial ramifications, all these type of things if you want to jump to the league. But be here for 2 years, come in, and let's see what happens, right? And instead, I mean, you know, you look at Indiana right now, like Indiana has no recruits right now. I guess we got one last.
No, you got the right? He's got the five star forward.
But that's a crazy, because all these kids are jumping around and changing and doing these things. Yeah, I'm with you. I think that may be the why it feels different this year, maybe the last couple of years, right? Where it just doesn't feel as big because you don't have the same affinity to a lot of these young players.
Yeah, I think to be able to do what you were saying from a contract, they have to be recognized as an employee, and I don't see that happening with the way that the Congress talks are and how Saban went up there on stage. But they would also, it would have saved Saban if he had been like, you know what, they should be employees, because now I can develop these young men, you can develop these young women for the respective sports, and you know that they're going to at least lock in. So then at least I have 2 years where I can really get them on the hook to know you can make more money elsewhere, but look what, like you're saying, look what this network does for you. Look what you can continue to do off the name of this you know the university after your career is done, and then in the short term, you know, hopefully you see the passion for why you originally came here, and let's you know still make it lucrative for you, but you don't want to go seeking for that next contract. So. Yeah, I hope you, some things get cleaned up. It's going to be tougher in basketball, obviously, because of the one and done aspect to it, and so it's harder. It's going to be harder to generate those lasting names. So like, you don't have, you know, even if you're a villain, like, which, like, right now it looks like Duke is generating. Flip Flopowski, he got ran into, and everybody like blamed Flip for that court storm. I don't think he stuck his foot out, but regardless, 2 games later, he trips the player, I think, from like Virginia or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you got to, now your name's out there. Hopefully he sticks around. I don't know if he'll leave, but like now we got a Duke villain back again. Like that makes it feel like old timey basketball. So yeah, it's just a different time frame. A lot of the access takes away from the lore and the mystique, I think, of a lot of places where like before you don't know, like, you know, you couldn't see everything on TV. You have all the access. So now you're kind of, it dilutes the nature to what it had the impact on you a little bit, I think. So with all the new access. So it's just different. And, you know, regulation, I think, will help in turn to save what was, I think, the more honest and true portion of college sports.
Yeah. Can I do one quick hot take real quick?
Yeah. Hot take it up.
I think that Paige Beckers is the best player in the nation. Here is why.
Say that one more time.
I believe Paige Beckers is the best player in the nation. Here is why. I think she, if you go back, and it'll be interesting to see how Kara Lawson's going to have her team guard her in tomorrow night's game. But if you go back and watch the game against Syracuse, she was Felicia Loga-Jack, who's the Syracuse coach, who's actually the coach at IU when I was there. So shout out. It was cool to see her back in the coaching ranks and everything. But she was doing everything. The thing about Caitlin Clark that's amazing is she has kind of the Steph Curry effect, where she shoots it from so deep, and she's got, you know, pretty good handle and a good, really good step back. And that just kind of like mesmerizes you. And it is. She's an unbelievable long-range shooter, and she's a very good passer. I don't think she gets enough credit for, like, her vision and the fact that she can pass. But if you go back and watch that Syracuse, you know, Syracuse playing a little zone. They're playing some matchup zone and trying to change up their coverages. And Paige Beckers is so good, where she's diving to the middle of the floor, catching it, shooting a mid-range shot or shooting a floater, catching it, dropping the ball off to the post for an easy assist, an easy lay-in, or coming down – taking two right with her, making the right read to the corner or somewhere else, or just splitting the two at the top, stopping on a dime, hitting the mid-range. Her package, like what she can do all around on a basketball court, is unbelievable to kind of watch, right? And I think when you think about a full package, someone kind of like a Breanna Stewart, right, who I think is kind of the full package, that is – I think she's more comparable, and to be honest, I think her game will translate even better to the WNBA than Caitlin Clark's will.
Personally. Oh, I 100% agree. You're preaching the choir on this one. You know, I've been watching the game for 4 years, so you know, I've been known. You know, coming from Minnesota, number one player, Gatorade Player of the Year, coming up to the U, doing the dang thing. We've been known. I'm glad you letting people know. I'm putting game on for folks out there.
You cannot call UConn the U. That is a ridiculous comment.
We're the basketball capital of the world. We can say whatever we want. Speaking of basketball capital of the world, you know what else is located in Connecticut? ESPN. What happened with ESPN?
Yeah, let's jump into some sports technology stories there. Probably went a little long on the
We did.
But all good. Everybody, so, yeah. This one's pretty cool. I'm excited. We'll put a video up of this on Sports Tech Atlanta as well. We'll try to infuse maybe this with the pod as well. But Cosm, which is a leading immersive technology media and entertainment company, tonight, a few days ago, announced a multi-year agreement that will see ESPN bring live events across college and professional sports to Cosm's forthcoming immersive venues in shared reality. So Cosm, with WB Studios partnered, so they're going to bring these immersive, really domes together, right? One is going to be in Dallas. One is going to be here in Los Angeles. And you're going to be able to really bridge the virtual and the physical world. And so ESPN has tapped into that, and they're going to be able to bring – so you're going to be able to be in this huge dome, be able to watch a game. You're going to really almost be like you're at the game, which is going to be an interesting experience now for people that, you know, maybe didn't want to go all the way down to crypto. You don't want to be sitting an hour and a half of traffic to go 9 miles, right? But something that now you can kind of be, again, immersed in terms of all of these sports. They're going to have NBA, NHL, US Open for tennis, college football regular season and playoff, men's and women's college basketball, college baseball, softball, and select UFC fight nights, which that'll be a little interesting and immersive. That'll bring an interesting crowd. But yeah, that is going to be an amazing thing to kind of see here in a really, really cool partnership.
I just want to know, where are they getting this money from, Sterling? Because all I've seen in the past 2 years, layoffs after layoffs after layoffs, people being salty about the layoffs, big hires of just certain individual personalities for big dollars, but then continued layoffs, and then now they're doing this. Where are they getting this money from? I know it's a partnership, but where is money coming from? That's my only question. But well,
that's why they had the layoffs.
I know, so they can make room. I think it's cool. It's just a lot going on. Like, I want to see what the delivery. I got to see the delivery of it because I love any type of innovation like this, and really trying to bridge the gap of where technology is going and trying to usher people into the 22nd century. I know we're not there, but you get the metaphor.
Yeah,
and so I'm just very interested because what has been executed so far hasn't had staying power. And that's the biggest concern. The only thing, I mean, it's not like it's immersive in when you're experiencing it, but you're obviously in the adult playground of the world. And that's the sphere and the technology that they have inside, being able to have it's past 4K, whatever it's called, but it's not to this level. And that's still obviously in the red, but MGM knows that right. That's a Dolan thing. They knew where they were going to be at after that. So, after the first year or two, I think it's second year, but I'm interested to see where this goes. It's just the execution portion of this. Whenever I see immersion for the fans, because we've done a few stories on this now, and with this being, you know, a venue that you're headed to, the big bet is sports and the continued growth in sports. So the fandom. You know, so is Taylor Swift going to do the public venue first and bring her crowd there and get the Swifties involved? How are they going to market it? How are they going to have the staying power with the common fan? So, no, cool, but let's see how it plays out.
Yeah, I am interested. I'm interested to see if they're, you know, obviously the build is going on right now in terms of the this huge dome that they're kind of building out here in Los Angeles, again, with in partnership with WB. So I'm interested to see, yeah, what it looks like, how it all looks. Again, we'll put a video or rendering what they put out on social on ours as well. Again, always refer to the Seed Talk podcast, Instagram and TikTok. I wanted to put this one in here, another partnership to talk through. A lot of people ask about what's going on in terms of the performance medicine or solutions that are on the med side. So that's why I dropped this one in here. We've talked about Kidman Labs probably a few years ago, actually, when we were really kind of just starting out the Seed Talk podcast. But Kidman Labs has expanded its partnership with Luton Town FC, the Premier League side, which earned promotion to the English top flight ahead of its EPL season. They will now use the company's performance medicine, performance optimization, and coaching and development solutions as part of the club's access to Kidman Labs intelligence platform. And they are actually already integrated into the NWSL's Gotham City FC and Angel City FC as well. So really cool to kind of really think about what's out there in terms of you know, performance medicine, or really solutions around tracking and the intelligence around tracking your performance. So really cool here. Taylor, what'd you think about this one?
No, I think it's cool. That's all I got. I ain't got much on it. I know you're just dropping it real quick. No.
That was a great answer, though. Thank you.
I just knew you were dropping it real quick. I didn't want to stop you. Keep your flow growing.
One quick soundbite here. The IU try to come back. The South Carolina women just beat IU by 4 points there. Tough loss. Shout out. We got a friend on the South Carolina staff. Shout out old Winston Gandy.
Good coach. Coach Gandy to you now. Coach Gandy.
Happy for him. The next sports tech story here. So this is kind of cool. I have a thing against pickleball. I will do that at the end of this. But volley, which aims to revolutionize the way racket sports players, so from tennis to paddle and pickleball, train with its AI-enabled sports training machine. So unlike traditional tennis ball machines that simply launch balls at varying speeds and heights, Volley's trainer robot leverages AI and vision software to collect data as you play, learn your skill level, and stimulate live gameplay. So making it so you never need a full team to have a decent training session. So this is cool. I thought this was cool. I mean, honestly, right now, this is why I honestly kind of did this, because I wanted to do a rant on this. I'm not going to lie to you. I think it's a great innovation here within sports technology. But There's so many people that play pickleball. I go to a dog park in Marina Del Rey 3 to 4 times a week. At this dog park, they have changed over some of the courts, for some of the tennis courts, into pickleball-only courts, which is happening everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm at the dog park. It's in the morning, and you'll see this random Santa Monica-looking guy, if you know what I'm trying to say there, teaching people – like teaching a gaggle of people, if you will, right? Uh-huh. Quote unquote pickleball. And let's be honest, people, it's not hard to learn pickleball. It's not hard to learn how to hit the ball.
I don't see you playing.
All right. So Listen, if you're on the west side of LA, if you're in Marina Del Rey, you're in Venice, you're in Santa Monica, check out Volley. I don't need 7 women in Lululemon that can't hit the ball back to one guy. Get this machine. You gotta start somewhere. Get this machine and go practice somewhere and stop taking up that space and making all this commotion for all the dogs. That's my rant there.
I respect the rant. 100% respect it. Sounds a little personal. I don't know what happened to you at this dog park.
It's very personal. There's just a lot of people. They're waiting. It's just a lot.
It seems like it irks you a little bit. Did somebody kick your dog? Did somebody smack your dog with the paddle, saying you ain't doing dog rearing what good enough? Or what personally do you have against the racket community to where you looks like you got a vein it's not popping racket, off in the middle of your face right now?
It's not the racket community, because it's not the tennis
community.
I'll
be specific. Sorry. Okay, just the pickleball.
It is strictly the pickleball community.
Mm-hmm. People can't be out there and they Lululemon trying to get their activity on. Maybe it's just my 10 a.m. sweat. All I can do is wrong with that. All I can do is mosey left to right just a little bit. And at the same time, if I get my hand-eye coordination down, I'm just trying to be better out here, Sterling. Is that too much of a problem?
I'm not saying it's a problem. What I'm saying is there's so many people. There's people waiting for the matches. It's a whole thing. And it is annoying as a dog owner, one, to kind of watch all of this just in real time. We'll start there. But then to just have all these people around where you can't walk your dog, people are in the way, they're walking by, they're hitting the paddle against the fence. It's too much. Practice by yourself, get better, and then go join one of these leagues or something like that.
I think you're upset because you look at that and you're like, I wish I could do that, but these folks look a little bit more athletic than me. That's where I think the jealousy is coming from. You're like, they out here working, putting in that work, even if they are waiting in lines for my buddy over here that's got dreads for no reason. And they're just athletic, more athletic than you. It's okay, though. You know, you just got to accept it. You ain't got the athleticism. You ain't got the answer, Sterling. Your body ain't got the answer. The
jersey behind me would argue different. But I think it's cool.
No, I do think it's a cool product, though. With it leveraging AI and seeing where you're at as a player, I was trying to throw the video up on it, but go check out getvolley.com to be able to check it out. And it transforms what you normally see for a, ball shooter, whatever, jugs machine equivalent. And now it's automated instead of just, swaying or going back and forth, panning left to right. It's being more strategic and being able to how to drop shots so you can't fully anticipate it. And now you can genuinely get better. So, no, I think it's pretty cool. Yeah. Outside of people waiting for a hipstery trainer, which I envisioned the picture was that you were trying to paint. This wasn't the same trainer that Serena and Venus got in King Richard. Not him. Not that type of trainer.
This
man just rolled out of bed 10 minutes ago, threw some shorts on, and showed up at the courts. Is what you're saying? I got it.
So yeah, like I said, go check that out. Really cool there. We got one I'll call out here in terms of the investment side. We'll talk more about investments. Again, check out us on Instagram and on TikTok in terms of what is going on around the state of sports. So many things in terms of sports investments, sports properties going on here. So we'll talk through that as well. In some shorts, in some TikToks, and we'll do some YouTube shorts, some TikToks, all those type of things. So the last one here is Refer Sports. So it's REFR, obviously supposed to be about referees here. It's a Minneapolis-based sports startup. They just raised $535,000 in its pre-seed funding round, which was led by Groove Capital. So what they're aiming to do, which is really to centralize the referee conundrum that I think we do have here in the United States. So you're going to have instant payouts that are offered through the Refer Sports platform. You never have to wait for being able to kind of get paid. That is actually a huge thing for referees. Access to all the nearby game opportunities. So you can easily browse Refer Sports Network to find assigners near you that are posting games that you can work for. And it's obviously on the go, right? A lot of times referees can have to wait by the phone, on email, if they're going to work that weekend, not work that weekend. It's a really cool for them here. I think also down the road, which will be cool to be able to have access to, is right a little bit of a grading system on both sides, right? Has something happened in the past? Are you a good referee? Are you not a good referee? All of those type of things. So really cool that they have really kind of started to, like I said, kind of centralize this, not only for referees, but for leagues as well, to be able to utilize here.
No, this is awesome. It's Refer Sports, Ref, R-E-F-R, sports.com, if you want to go check that out. And I think it does. It streamlines the processes right now that you have for refs, and I know that that's definitely been a pain point. And then hopefully the grade comes by other refs and not parents of a Little League game who are mad at the ref or umpire for calling three balls when they thought it was strikes, and they're yelling, and it's an eight-year-old T-ball game. So don't need that. But what we do need is to continue to add more refs into the game because, it's a thankless job, honestly. And you think back to all the AAU games, you want to yell at the ref. And some refs these days, they don't know how to clap back like they used to back in the day. Some refs could cut you down real quick, have you sitting back, and maybe even leave the gym on your own volition without by the way that they were able to handle the crowds back in the day. But today, now they're like, I ain't going through it. Game over. We calling it. Now the kids are out of the game, not getting that experience, not getting the energy out. And you end up with hurt feelings all across the board. So No, I think this is really cool. I will say, if this gets adopted and monopolizes the game a little bit, corners the market, you could see the end of the hustle system out here, the tax-free hustle game. I ain't trying to put nobody on blast. I ain't trying to speak anything out to the feds here, but I'm just saying there's a cash payment system that could be going by the wayside with this. Uncle Sam could be getting their taxes that they solely been missing out on in the past like 40 years. So that's the only negative I could possibly see. Not saying I do it. I'm not a ref. I'm just saying I just know how the game works. Why do you think barbershops exist and they only ask for cash? I just did it again. I'm sorry. I'll edit that one out. I'm giving the game up. Uncle Sam, folks, don't be mad at me. It ain't me.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong in the thought process. You were not wrong there. But again, check them out. Very cool idea and interesting to see kind of where they take this and how they continue to kind of utilize the funding here.
If you walk into a bar and the bar is just a strictly cash bar, whoo, you know they're doing some stuff underneath the table. It's just, you got to know. It's common sense. What, we may brought in 300, telling we only made 50. But, you know, that's what they do. That's what everybody does. That's capitalism for you right there. Boom. Don't look at me like that. Trying to give me that. I saw you give me the smirk out here. I'm just saying it. People have been doing out here for hundreds of years. Just because I'm saying it doesn't now mean it's going to be on the radar officially. Actually, we do speak truth to power over here. So our power to truth, I don't know however you're going to say that. Whatever we say somehow ends up happening. Don't know how that works out. But we do have some very influential voices over here.
All right. I don't know about influential there, but yeah.
Wrap it up.
Yeah, we'll close it out there. I think we'll have some shorts here that we're gonna record as well here. But we appreciate y'all. Again, continue to rate, subscribe, and find us on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. We're everywhere.
All things Sea Talk Podcast.
And we will see you on the next edition of the Sea Talk Podcast. Sports ownership is evolving as PE firms, celebrities, and retired athletes invest in business.
Improved economics of sports has driven greater demand among buyers and increased the prices in recent deals.
Richard Bernatis, a Kagan analyst, believes women's sports is the biggest opportunity for investors over the next few years. Pause. All right. We're going to hit Mercury 13 origins and investment. So investing in female football has become the industry's newest trend. With increasing attendance, increasing partnerships, and increasing revenue, the next market to be is getting people's attention first and companies' money second.
In 1961, 13 American women wanted to go to space. 13 American women to go to space. The Mercury 13, as they were later dubbed, took part in a privately funded program that tested and screened female volunteers to prove they were ready, as ready for spaceflight as men. But NASA thought otherwise. It would take them 20 years to send a woman to space.
Then astronaut Sally Ride became the first American woman to actually reach the stars in 1983.
Sally Ride.
Sorry. Did we need that? The Soviets had put the first woman in space in 1963, and Elian Collins was the first woman to pilot the space shuttle in 1995. When I was very young, I first started reaching out about astronauts. There were no female astronauts, she would later explain, but there was the Mercury 13, as she explained. That was enough.
60 years later, Mercury 13, the women's football multi-club ownership group, named after the never-to-be astronauts but forever considered icons of female rights, wants to send the football industry with the same wind of hope the original Mercury 13 represented for women with dreams in the 1960s. And they're doing it through the professionalization of the industry. $100 million, and as of today, a Series A feminine team, Como Women. Feminine.
So far,
Como Women.
So far, they are following the footsteps of Korean-born businesswoman Michelle Kang, who has built quite the empire herself. She's the majority owner of the Washington Spirit, the London City Lionesses, one of only two teams in England's top two tiers of women's football that operate independently from a men's club, the Baltimore Orioles, and she recently closed the purchase of the Olympic Lyonnais Feminine, one of the most successful clubs worldwide when it comes to titles.
Cool.
You want anything else? Everything else?
No, those are good. Well, if we want to redo the, what's it called, the women one, after looking at it, you can let me know. But no, that's cool.
All right.
I'll end the recording.